Praise the Lord. That's the truth, isn't it? The joy of the Lord is our strength. And without the Lord's joy, we need His joy, we need His strength. The Lord bless you all tonight. I greet everyone in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's good to be gathered in His name tonight. We're turning to Revelation chapter 5. And Sister Eileen the message, and she thanks everyone for your prayers. And let's just keep praying, keep believing, and asking the Lord just to have His way. Amen. And message Brother Brian as well, and he says that he's able to walk a bit. Still a bit of pain, but it's bearable pain, but he's able to walk a bit. So we're glad for that. But he'll be better in a few months. He'll be the better for what he's happened with a new hip, praise God. So just keep everyone in prayer, and please take a greetings back, Sister Ruth, tell the fellowship and the family over in Australia as you go back on this Sunday, isn't it? Take a greetings back. It's been real nice to have you and the family over, and I really enjoyed Ruth's testimony and Carl's testimony and Brother Geordie's on Sunday. Really enjoyed the testimonies. Praise the Lord. We want to look again at Revelations, and I'm certainly not an expert in Revelation, but I just want to share some thoughts, and maybe when I get the time, I want to go through all the seals, and I want to really look at the seventh seal when I get the time. I haven't the time at the minute. And there's so much in the Revelations. It's a massive book. It's a big book. Let's start and let's read verse 11 and verse 12. And we're continuing on from last week and tonight. I want to look a little bit at the worship of the angels and the worship of all the creation. But continuing on from last week, just a few thoughts. Verse 11 of Revelation 5. And you can keep it open. We'll might read some more of it after a bit. And I beheld and I heard the voice of an angel round about the throne and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." Let's bow our heads tonight, and if you have a need, just lift your hand tonight up before the Lord. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we humbly and reverently bow before you tonight, Lord Jesus. We thank you for the Lamb of God, the Lamb slain from the very foundations of the world. And Lord, we bless and praise your name tonight, Lord Jesus. We come into this house to worship you and praise you. Magnify your name. We seek for a fresh filling and anointing of the Holy Spirit upon earth, your people tonight, Lord. And I just take the Holy Spirit to help me right now, and I thank you for the Holy Spirit. Pray for the hands raised. You'll meet every single need in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, continue to minister to Sister Eileen. Continue to minister to my own sister. Continue to touch Brother Brian and heal him, and bless all those that give their testimony on Sunday, and move on their families and their homes. Move on every one of our homes, every one of our families, and all of our children. We claim every one of them under that token in the name of Jesus Christ tonight. Father, we just ask for you'll have your way in our midst, that you'll anoint us, that you'll help us, that you refresh us, renew us. Help us see the Lamb of God afresh again tonight, and we'll praise you for it. In Jesus' precious name, amen, amen. Maybe say it, praise the Lord, amen. John here in verse 11 uses this phrase, "I beheld," or in some versions, "I looked." It's the same thing, he beheld, he looked. Also, "behold" can mean pay attention. And he heard 44 times in Revelations, he declares that he saw something. And 27 times he says, "I heard." So 44 times in the book of Revelations, he heard, he beheld, and 24 times he heard in the book of Revelations. That's a lot of times what John's saying. And I believe if something's mentioned so much, we need to have a look at it. We preach some things that's maybe not mentioned as much, But we need to preach some things. It's mentioned so much. Because if they're mentioned so much, it must be very important. And John heard this and John saw it. And this is a tremendous scene. The Lamb is in the center of the worship of the living creatures and the elders. And the Lamb is in the midst. He's in the midst of the creatures and the elders with an innumerable host of angels all around on every side. And they circle. He's in the middle. And there's a sympathy of praise going on, a sympathy of worship going on. And it's all to the Lamb of God for what he's done. Because we saw in the start of our reading that he was the only one worthy to take the book. And you see, this is important because every one of us was sold out under sin. And Adam had lost it. And someone was needed to bring us back. There had to be a restoration, a redemption. And only the Lamb of God could bring us that full redemption. And we go through all this revelation and you go through it yourself and you read. We know the devil's a squatter. And he's eventually going to be put out. And the Lamb of God is coming as a lion of the tribe of Judah. He's the Lamb, but he's also the lion of the tribe of Judah. And he's going to come with vengeance. And he's going to rule and he's going to reign on this earth, praise God. But they're worshiping him. And he's in the center of the midst. And I want to say tonight, any fellowship, any church, any place of worship, the Lamb, Jesus Christ, must be the center of our focus, the center of our attention, the center of our praise, and all the music and all the sympathy. It's not to glorify any other man. It's to glorify and bless and praise the Lord Jesus Christ. It's an incense. The worship is an incense. It's a sweet incense to the Lord. Praise God, a sweet incense to the Lord. All the creation worshiped him. Look up to verse 13 and 14 and we're going to read it. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and all power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. They're going to worship him. Amen. They're going to worship him. Every single thing in the sea, under the sea, everything's going to worship the Lamb of God. Every single thing. And I tell you, there's a lot of, you might think, well, we know all that. That's true. Perhaps you know it all. But there's a lot of places tonight, and they don't want Christianity named. And they don't want the things of God named. But there's a day coming when it's going to be everything. And we need to not be ashamed of it now. We need to praise him. And these four beasts said amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and forever. Hallelujah. You see, you could follow a great man and he could last for a time. But that great man, no matter who it is, has only a time in this earth, a span. But I tell you, the man we're following tonight is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. And he's forever and forever and forever. And he was and he is not, yet he is. And he says, behold, I have the keys of death, hell, and the grave. He has them tonight. The devil no longer has them. He was stripped of the keys. He stripped them of the keys. And he has the keys tonight. All the rest of creation joins here in this course of blessing and praise. Even in the waters, under the waters, on top of the waters, to the one on the throne, the Lamb of God. And the four living creatures pronounce their amen, and the 24 elders once again fall down and worship, and both creation and redemption are in manifestation to the greatness of God and to the Lamb of God. Praise God. And the fourfold ascription, there's a fourfold ascription, and I haven't got time to go into every detail tonight of all these things, but there's a fourfold ascription of praise. And it is the voice of creation and the voice of the redeemed. And they're all praising the Lord. Even the angels are praising them. And those that are redeemed are praising them. They're all praising them. Everybody's praising them. Amen. Restored and responding in our responsibility. This is a real acclamation in heaven. A real pronunciation of praise to the Lamb of God. And this points us back. Everything. We can go back and look at this. We're going in a moment. Right back to Genesis and see where there was praise and right back to Daniel, and right back to the book of Psalms, and we can see where they praised him. And you know, when David wrote a lot of these things, David wouldn't have knew everything what he's writing, but he's inspired by the Holy Spirit to do it. In Revelations 4 and 11, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. Thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. He is the beginning of the creation of God. All things were made by him and for him." He made everything. Hallelujah. And we're made by him and we're made for him. And God has a purpose for you. And God has a purpose for me. Because he made you. And he's got something for you. In 1 John verse 3 it says, "All things are made by him, without him was not anything made that was made." So anything that was ever made was not made without him. In other words, he made it all. Every single thing. The blessing, the honor, the glory, the might, all ascribed to God and the Lamb of God. And that's universal praise. Every creation joins. There's a great anticipation, the moment when every descendant, every single one that's gone up in heaven's praising them. And the voice will be, it'll never be silenced, it's forever. And you know, you come to church and some people sit and they don't want to sing a song. Their mouth's closed. And they don't want to worship, they don't feel like worshiping, and they don't feel like praising. But I'll tell you, if I could, I would. But if you could get a wee bit of what John was experiencing, I'll guarantee you nobody would keep you shut up. I'll guarantee you that you'd praise and you'd shout and you'd glorify the Lord. And too often, we're too loud, too loud, too loud. But I tell you one thing, you know, young lads that's in the world's not saved, they don't play music on half volume, it's full blast. The windies will shake. The discos is full blast. When they had the bus fest in Bonbridge here the other day, I'll tell you one thing, they weren't singing under newspapers. They had speakers out, they had microphones, so that the town could hear bus fest, whatever bus fest is. But half the Christians are walking about sleeping, and they're feared to praise the Lord. And I tell you, but there's going to come a time when they're going to praise him. They're going to praise him. The Lord loves you tonight. The Lord died for you. He shed his blood for you. He loves you. You love him because he first loved you. It's not the other way around. It was him that loved you. Ever before you knew about love, the Lord loved you. And he loves you and his love never changes. I'm glad the one thing God showed me over the years, God's love didn't go up and down. It remains the same. And when I wasn't serving the Lord, he loved me. And now I'm serving the Lord, he still loves me. And I tell you, brother and sister, the Lord loves you tonight. And too often, maybe somebody does something and they make a mistake and the devil bothers them. But I want you to know that this Lamb of God shed his blood. And his blood cleanses from all sin. And will keep cleansing till we're into heaven. Hallelujah, and time will be no more. But all creatures join in this great anticipating the moment when every descendant voice will have been silent forever in the redeemed universe. It'll sound out. It'll sound out. Creation's groans hushed forever. There's groans tonight. There's real men and God groaning tonight. They're travailing tonight. This world tonight's rocking. Do you know that? She's rocking. The world's in birth pains tonight. She's rocking. There's war in Israel. There's war in Russia and Ukraine. There's war in different parts of the world tonight. The world's rocking to and fro. And I'm telling you, it's birth pains, the Bible calls it. But the coming of the Lord's at hand. Look at Romans 8 and 22 to 23 says, "For you know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now." That's why we need the gift. And as a brother John preached, the oil and the Holy Ghost baptism. So when we can't know what to say in English, the Spirit takes over. I'm a groan with utterance. Hallelujah. Strange utterance. My that would have strange utterance. There was strange utterance before. And may we have strange utterance again. And the old denominations will condemn them. For they know nothing about the baptism. And about tongues and the power. today. That's our message, not for today. But I'm glad that God's never changed. His word's never changed. For the promises unto you and to your children, Acts 2:39, unto them so far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Hallelujah! Verse 23 says, not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of Spirit, even we ourselves grown within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to wit, the redemption of the body. I tell you, we know we have adoption tonight. We know we're redeemed. But we're waiting on a manifestation from heaven that's going to transform our bodies. We are going to be changed. This corruptible, Corinthians tells us, is going to put on incorruption. And this corruption is going to put, or this immortality is going to put on immortality. We're going to be changed. And we're going to go to be with the Lord. We're leaving. People put so much importance down here, but we're leaving here. And this earth's going to get a baptism of fire. She's had her baptism of water, but she has to have her baptism of fire. And we can have a water baptism, but we need a fire baptism. A baptism of fire, God. That's what we need today. Let me read this from the Psalms. And this scene echoes, you know, inspiration and praise rising from all creation. Back in Psalms 148, let me read this tonight. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise ye him, all the angels. Praise him, all his host. Praise ye him, sun and moon. Praise him, all ye stars of light. Praise him, ye heavens of heavens, ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord for the command, and they that were created. He hath also established them forever and ever. He hath made a decree which shall not pass. Praise the Lord from the earth. Ye dragons, on all deeps, fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy, wind fulfilling his word. Mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and cedars, beasts, and all the cattle, creeping things and flying fowl. Kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men, maidens, old men, children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. He also exalted the horn of his people, the praise of all the saints, even the children of Israel, a people near unto him. Praise ye the Lord. And I tell you, we need to be praying for Israel tonight. The enemy would snuff her out. She would overcome Israel if she could, the enemy. And all the heads, most around the world, would try it as well. But they can't do it. They can't do it. Can't do it because of God. Amen. Oh, I tell you, God's word can't fail. You see, this scene in chapter 5 is a wonderful scene of worship. But the unfolding revelation beginning of chapter 6 is a different scene. The scene in chapter 5 is a scene in the open book. Where the book's open, the Lamb takes the book. And the deed, hear me tonight. The deed has come back into the hands of his rightful owner. He's claimed it. And he didn't claim it through a prophet or an angel, but he claimed it through his death, burial, and resurrection on the cross. He paid for it with his own precious blood. He's claimed it. This is a title deed. His father's given him everything. It's all his. And all the glory and praise is his. All the worship is his. He's due it. He's the only one worthy of it. And I tell you, he's a deed tonight. But you see him beginning this chapter 6 when the scene shifts. Once again, from heaven to earth. The beauty and the wonder of this scene is a different view from the dark clouds of the divine judgment portrayed following upon the earth during this tribulation time. Chapter 6 goes into. Tribulation is revealed in the chapters to follow. The view on earth is always dark in comparison to the glory of heaven. And I tell you, there's glories in heaven that's awaiting us. But there's judgment coming in this earth. And people tonight are running. They're running. They're not walking to hell. They're running to hell. And they can't get it fast enough. They're on the broad road tonight. And they won't be turned, and he can't turn them. And God has sent preachers and prophets and angels. And gets, he's done so much. And they still won't turn. And there's going to be no excuse for them. When God's wrath, it's going to be poured out. Every single true believing Christian can take heart. and every trial and every temptation, knowing that our Lord Jesus Christ suffered and was tried, and that he triumphed and ascended on high, having completed his earthly work, he ascended up on high. And I tell you, he's the first fruits and the fruits to follow. We're going to go like the Lord went. We're leaving. Hallelujah, we're leaving. Brother, where are you going? I'm going to heaven. In Psalm 68, verse 18, and I'm almost finished. Psalm 68, verse 18. There's so many other things I could have said and wrote out, but I didn't want to get too much. Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. Here is the psalmist again writing something that's speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, the resurrection. Inspired of God. Then you could read it over also in Ephesians 4, verse 7 to 15. We'll read it. Then in a moment we'll pray. Ephesians 4, 7 to 15. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. Verse 9. Now that he ascended, what is it? But that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. But yet there's people tell us there's no such thing as apostles, and there's no such thing as prophets, and that some will say there's no pastors. But they believe in evangelists and they believe in a teacher. They take them too from the five. But the Bible doesn't mention just two. The Bible mentions a fivefold ministry. And I'll tell you, there's five fingers and the glove fits right over it. And the Holy Ghost can take a fivefold ministry. And we need the fivefold ministry for the perfection of the saints. Amen. Who believes there's still prophets? I believe absolutely still prophets and apostles and evangelists and pastors and teachers. And the same Holy Spirit works in every one of them. This idea I heard many years ago, but he'll never see people saved because he doesn't have that type of a ministry. That's nonsense. Every single ministry can see people saved because it's all under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And every true man of God at some point has led someone to the Lord, I'll guarantee you. Because you see, Christ sent them, and he's coming out of them. Amen. And it affects people. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Look at this. Down to verse 12. For the perfection of the saints, for the work of the ministry, the edifying of the body of Christ, till they all come in the unity of faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. And I tell you, there's men lying in wait to deceive, and there's people in the blown hither and yither and thither, and they're like the storm, they're every road. But I'll tell you, we need to be anchored. Amen. We need to be anchored deep in Christ Jesus on the absolute. And the absolute's God's word. Thank God for the word of God. Verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Christ the head tonight. Isn't he wonderful? You know, I'll tell you what we need. We need to fall in love afresh with the Lord. Every one of us. I'm talking about myself as well. Oh, but I love the Lord, brother. We need to love him more. We need that first love. We need a real touch of God's presence in our life where we have a real zeal. I tell you, it's wonderful, you know. I was listening again of James McConnell's testimony. And there was nobody coming. Nobody was coming. And he was discouraged. As a minister, there's a few people he had that met for a long time. Said it was like a wilderness for years. Nobody was coming. But when the angel visited him again, seven times, he said the angel visited him seven times. And the angel said to him, from now on, you will see people saved every time you preach. And he says, one service after that, 80 people come in and got saved. And the church went from 120 to 600. And they had to build a bigger church. And when they built the bigger church, before they got it finished, they had to knock the side out to let more room in for more people. And they never got it finished till it was still too small, and they knocked our side out, and it was still too small. That many were getting saved. Now, I know men years ago, and they said to me they didn't believe it. Well, I'll tell you one thing, something happened. Because that Whitewell Metropolitan Church didn't fill its own self. And I know what it's like to get people to come to church. It's a hard job. But James McConnell didn't bring them. James McConnell said he never put up one brochure. He never put one advert in the paper. God done it. God brought them. And when Noah built the ark, Noah never went out and started with a microphone shouting at all the different animals to come in the ark. Noah was in that ark, and God called them all in. God called them. And we need God to do some calling. Amen? And I tell you, just like it was in the Bible, when he came and he stood still for a moment, and they got the Lord to stand still for a moment, and he began to work. And we don't just need God to give us a bit of anointing in these meetings. We need the Lord to come in. I know he's here, but we need more. We need him to come in his presence here. And we need God to move in a mighty way. We can't do it our own selves. And I'll tell you, I don't care who you get. They're not pulling them out of the suitcase. Evangelism stunt. It won't work. I've seen it. I've seen people running the meetings and they've all got saved. And 6 months' time, there's not one of them serving the Lord. You couldn't get them to prayer meeting. But they all get saved. Now, I'm not ridiculing any preachers, but I'm telling you, under a real move of God, people will go on with God. They want to serve the Lord. And I want to encourage you tonight. Keep going on. Praise God. Let's come and let's pray tonight. And seek the Lord tonight. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we just thank and praise you tonight for your mercy and for your grace. For your love and your truth you've shown to each and every one of us. Lord, surely we can discern by the skies, the weather. And Lord, you've told us by the signs of the times where we're at. And we know we're at the end time. We are living in the last of the last days. And you're coming again. And Lord, we know there could be a rapture, a catching up, take place any time, any moment. Lord, I'm asking you for oil tonight. Give us fresh oil. Fill our vessels, O God, with the oil of God. And move in our families, move in our homes. And move in our lives afresh. Lord, I pray you'll make us salty. That we'll affect others. That there'll be an impact upon people. Pray you'll speak to your own people. Lord, your own saved people. And you'll stir them. And you'll move them. Lord, that you'll send us a wee time of refreshment from the presence of the Lord. May there be a going in the top of the mulberry trees. May there be the sound, Lord, of the abundance of rain coming upon your people. Oh, how we need the former rain and the latter rain. Upon us to ripeness for the finished harvest, O Lord. Help us tonight, Lord. Move us tonight, I pray. Move men and women, even in this house, to pray prayers. O God, and Spirit of God, bless your people, strengthen them. Move again in Eiling, I pray. Touch her tonight. O God, we're asking you for your mercy. We're asking you for your grace. We're asking for your power to come on her. Your anointing. Come upon her sister and touch her in the name of Jesus Christ. And Father, for others that need your touch, maybe someone even in this room that needs your touch, Lord, grant the miracle they need. For we ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Lord, we know you're not the I was, you're the I am. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. We bless your name tonight, Lord Jesus. Help us to speak positive. Help us to speak faith. To speak those things into being that are not, even as though they were. May the Lord bless thee and keep thee and cause his countenance to shine upon thee. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Just let's continue to seek the Lord tonight.